Today we are focusing on the baptism of the Lord. I'd like in this homily to take the opportunity to look at the background of baptism and what it is that is sort of throughout the scriptures that is the backdrop to what it is that we see happening at the baptism here today. How God has used this image and this transforming power of baptism multiple times throughout the scriptures, and how this baptism always has this idea of the before and after. Before and after. And that this applies also to us. We'll get to that at the end of the homily. So let's take a moment and consider what it is that's going on in this story of the baptism of the Lord. We've just heard the gospel presentation of it, and right in the middle of that, Jesus goes down to be baptized, and they're having this little conversation between Jesus and John. And John is saying, well, no, you're the one who's supposed to baptize me. But Jesus says, let this be done for the sake, for the fulfillment of all righteousness. What does that mean? Well, there's some sort of fulfillment that is going on here, isn't there? Something that is happening in this moment of the baptism that has been foretold or foreshadowed through the Old Testament. So let's take a look. If we turn our Bibles all the way back to, quite literally, the first page, we find our first indication. We open up to the beginning, Genesis 1, and we see that there are the waters that cover over everything. And God is in the business of creating a world that is full of life. And so, in the place of what was just sort of waters everywhere, what does God do? He builds up the dome of the sky to separate the waters, and then he reaches down and he pulls up the dry land, and he sets it firm above the waters. The waters are pushed away. Now there is this new place where life can happen. And therefore, God is able to make all of the plants and the animals, all of the creatures, and ultimately his human beings, to be able to live on this place that had been pulled up out of water. There's a before and an after. And the before is sort of drowned with water. And the after has now this firm foundation on which new life can begin. There's another image of the idea of waters and of baptisms and of new beginnings that comes to us from the book of Genesis. This one comes to us from the story of Noah and the flood. God had created the world, but the wickedness and the sin that had gone all over the world, God saw that it was time that there need to be a cleansing of this world. Now, there's a lot going on into this Noah story, and we can't get into all of the nuances and details of it, but for our purposes, we can at least be able to say that the flood that happened was the waters of the earth coming forth to wash away wickedness and sin. And there was a new beginning with God's chosen people. We can see that there's the before, which had been covered with so much of the wickedness and evil, and then there's the after, which has this hope of a new start, that all the animals and Noah's family are able to go forth from the ark under God's blessing. And we might remember the sign of that blessing, that it was the sign of what? Yes, the rainbow was part of it, but it was also the sign of the dove. The dove that comes forth to proclaim that, yes, the washing away has ended. Now it is time for new life and new beginning. Another image probably the most important image of all of them from the Old Testament that foreshadows what happens in baptism is when God's people were saved by being pulled out of water in the Exodus. We may remember the story of the Exodus, how Pharaoh finally allowed for the people to leave after the plagues. But then he changed his mind and he decided to pursue them all the way to the shores of the Red Sea. And there, God's people were sure that they would be destroyed. They had had this promise, this hope, that they would be able to leave behind slavery and the bitter tears of their oppression. But here they are standing at the coast of the Red Sea, and they can go no further. They're trapped. And what does God do? Just like in Genesis, he pulls up dry land out of the water, as it were, pushing the waters aside to allow the dry land to appear, and the people are able to walk forward from slavery into freedom. And just like in the flood, we see that Pharaoh's army and all the evil that it represented is drowned out and washed away. This same image that we see in the Red Sea and the Exodus finds its fulfillment when God's people make the trip across the desert and are just about to enter into the promised land, the fulfillment of their hope of freedom. But there's one more body of water that is in their way before they come to the promised land. It's the River Jordan. The River Jordan, keep that in mind. As they approach to the river, God once more causes for the waters to part and the people are able to pass through the riverbed of the Jordan, and they're able to come out on the other side and enter finally into the fulfillment of that freedom that had promised them when they made their exodus from Egypt. Now, we hear that Jesus says to John, "Let this happen that it might be the fulfillment of all righteousness." What is he talking about? Well, what do we see that's happening? Where are they? They're at the River Jordan. They're there in the waters of the earth. And Jesus is plunged down into the waters. But then he comes up out of the waters, just like we heard in Genesis, the earth that is the new land that is pulled up from out of the waters. And the Holy Spirit descends upon him in the form of what? Of the dove, the sign of Noah, comes down upon him. And we hear these words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," echoing the words of the prophet Hosea, who said, "Out of Egypt I have called my son whom I love." Out of Exodus, out of slavery, I have called forth my son Israel whom I love. So what is happening here in this baptism of Jesus? In each one of these examples, we've seen that there's the before and the after. There's the chaos that leads to creation. There's the wickedness that leads to a new opportunity, a new hope with Noah after the flood. There's the bitterness of slavery that gives way to a new freedom and a new hope of God's promised land. Jesus goes into the waters and comes forth to fulfill all righteousness so that we might know that once more, God is doing something that has a before and an after. And that through the life of Jesus Christ, more definitively than any other time in history, God is going to bring about new creation, hope, and freedom. Now, with all of that in mind, what do we think of our own baptism that we received? That we also have been washed in the baptism so that there might be a before and an after. So that we might be able to live in that new life, that new hope, new freedom, signified through what Jesus Christ has done in this world. That we might be able to live in that new life in Christ. Baptism isn't something that happened a long time ago that we were able to check off our list and say, okay, well, I was baptized, I got that one sacrament done. No. Baptism is the people didn't go from slavery to freedom to simply be able to say, oh, well, we got that out of the way. No, now you get to live in freedom, in new life and a new creation that is possible through Jesus Christ. So maybe we can finish this homily with just one last exhortation. And this one, I think, is a message that may be heard especially by those who maybe find themselves at a period in their lives where they feel rather in touch with the before part of the story. All of us are going to have times like this. For those especially who can identify with that feeling of the waters rushing over everything and there's no ground to stand on and it feels like the tides of life are just washing you this way and that and you don't have any firm foundation to be able to plant your life. For those who can identify with the bitter tears of those who were in slavery and awaiting and praying for 400 years, Lord, have you forgotten us? Lord, when will you come and set us free? We see that through the scriptures, there are moments when God acts. There is the transition from the before to the after in these baptismal moments. And yet, they come on God's time. So to all those, especially, who might find themselves feeling that they are in that chaos, that bitterness, and that slavery, and that awaiting for God's salvation, may this day of the baptism of the Lord be a reminder of hope. I make no promises that the struggles that you're going through are going to change today or this week or this month. But we see represented here in this baptism the promise that God does not forget us ultimately. And that we should have hope in the God who will act in the before and the after. And that through the baptism of the Lord, and through the baptism that we receive, in which we participate in this saving power of God, that we might once more renew hope, that even if we are in a time of chaos and bitterness and slavery, that once more, God will be able to act and reveal his love and his glory in our lives.